Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Joanna and with my husband here, Clint. And we're coming to you from the United States of America. Praise God. And just good to be with you tonight. And we want you to call in at 347-989-8862 if you want to be part of the broadcast. We want you to call in again at 347-989-8862. We're going to start out with prayer that the Lord will just have His way tonight, and that we hope this will be a blessing to you. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask You, Lord God, and that You touch this here service tonight, dear God. Touch the listeners, dear Lord, that are listening, and encourage, dear God, folks, and Lord, those out there in the third world countries, dear Lord, that are being persecuted, Lord God, we ask, dear Lord, that You touch them and help them, dear God, and to face this, dear Lord, to them realize, dear God, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And God, just strengthen them and let them go all the way. They're running a race. We all are. That we can make heaven our home, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Touch them. Sick and afflicted, Lord, those that are bedridden, Lord God, we ask that You touch the shut-in. Lord Jesus, God, we praise You, Lord. Thank You, dear Lord, for all Your encouraging words, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, every household, Lord, represented here tonight, Lord, every caller, every family, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we praise You. In Jesus' name. Praise God. We're going to go with the subject tonight, Brother Yearwood. Felt led to do a subject called What Are You Stirring? And we felt led to go on with that for tonight, and we just hope it blesses you. And if we want you to call in, though, 347-989-8862. Right now we're going to have Rachel. She's going to come in. She's our 10-year-old daughter, and we're just really proud of her, and she's going to read you her scripture.
Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
Praise the Lord. So we appreciate that. Praise God. And again, tonight's subject is, What Are You Stirring? Hallelujah. 770-584, come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Brother Sister Green. This is John Thomas from Georgia.
Praise God, Brother John. Glad to have you on here, and we'll come back to you, brother. I'm going to acknowledge a few more callers here. 423-562. Come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
It's Brother Eddie Bolton from Jacksboro, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord, Brother Eddie, and good to have you on here. And we miss you when you're not here, but we understand everybody can't do it every time. But it sure encourages us that everybody that calls in, that they do, and I appreciate that so much. 423-545, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise God, Brother Yearwood. Glad to have you on here. We just got in this a while ago. We've been gone all day, so we were looking at our caller ID, and some of you might have called our home, and we weren't here. I apologize for that. Brother John, go ahead and obey the Lord, brother.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate the opportunity tonight. What have we stirred up, amen? What have we turned up tonight? You know, as the other night on the broadcast we were coming, I just wanted to, God began to deal with me by the Holy Spirit, amen, to take another look at this here in Acts chapter 17, where the Apostle Paul, amen, had been preaching there in Thessalonica, amen, and how him and the others, amen, Jason and some of the others, the Bible says that they had turned the world upside down as they began to speak the word of the Lord. You know, tonight I pray that, amen, my prayer is tonight that we that are on the broadcast here tonight will turn the world upside down, amen, and stir the world, amen, to give themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that the world will be turned upside down, amen, by the word of God and by the Spirit of God tonight. But the Bible says they had been troubled in the city there in verse 8 of Acts chapter 17. You know, the Bible teaches us, amen, Matthew 10:23 says, when they persecute you in the city, go to another. They begin to persecute, amen, the believers there because they had not received the word of God, amen, as in other places. The Jews had come, and he had spoken unto them, amen, and those that did not believe were moved with envy, amen. And, you know, there are times that people want, amen, as the word of God comes into them. You know, the scriptures teach us that we're not only to be hearers of the word, but be doers also. Luke and James chapter 1, verse 22. Amen, because the Bible says that we're hearers, we've forgotten what manner of man we are as looking into a glass. In other words, we begin to look in the mirror and we forget, amen, that we are men and women of God when we don't do the word of God, but we center the hearing of the word of God. But tonight, amen, as they had troubled the city, and amen, as they persecuted, the Bible says that immediately they sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea. And when they come into Berea, amen, they went into the synagogue. They went into the place of assembly, amen. And when they went into the assembly of the synagogue of the Jews, they were more noble there in Berea, amen. The scripture teaches, and they had come, amen. And there in Berea, they had a readiness of mind to receive, amen, the word of God, the scriptures. And they began to search the scriptures daily, amen, where these things were so, as the Apostle Paul began to speak to them. They had a ready mind. Church, tonight, do you have a ready mind to receive the word of God? Do you have a ready mind to be stirred in your heart to receive the things that the Holy Ghost have for you? Amen, and the Spirit of God. And the Bible said, therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. In other words, as the word of God began to be spoken in the Berea, a multitude began to believe. A multitude was gathered. He began to add to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen, because they had a readiness to receive the word of God. They had a readiness. They were stirred up, amen, in their mind. They were stirred up in their spirit, amen. And the Bible says, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached at Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. In other words, they had come, amen. The scriptures teach us, amen, that this was a stirring that, like a wind of doctrine. You know, the Bible says that be not like a child, amen, tossed about with every wind of doctrine. As the wind begins to blow, what was happening there in Athens, what was happening there in Berea, what was happening there in Macedonia, is that these false doctrines, you know, the Bible says in the book of Timothy that in the latter days that they would fall away, the seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. There was the wind begin to blow, amen. As the wind begin to blow, amen, these that had received, amen, those that were not stable, those that had not built their house upon the rock, according to Matthew chapter 7, I believe it's verse 25,
The Bible says he that hears the word and does it is likened unto a man who builds his house upon the rock. When the storms beat vehemently, amen, that house, amen, will be steadfast. But if we build a house upon the sand and have no foundation, amen, church tonight, we don't have a foundation if we don't have a readiness of mind. If we haven't been stirred to the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we haven't been stirred or moved, amen, and even provoked to a place to give ourselves holy unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, amen, that as they come there, amen, hallelujah, it says, they preached there also and stirred up the people. This was a wind, amen. The people were moved about by these Jews who had came, amen. They were stirred about by the storm. Tonight, are you staying steadfast, amen, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? And the Bible says, he said, and immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. And Silas and Timothy abode there still. So Paul, Silas and Timothy stayed there. Amen, amen. But Paul went unto the sea. He was told, amen, to go. And amen, he began to reason. And he sent, amen, for Silas and Timothy to come immediately unto him. And the Bible says in verse 15, and they that had conducted Paul brought him into Athens, and receiving commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. In other words, amen, it was time for when Silas and Timothy, as soon as you can get here, come to Athens with all speed. Come together, amen. You know, the Bible says that we're all workers together in the vineyard of our Lord. There were those, Apostle Paul, amen, planted, amen, Apollos, who was a disciple of John the Baptist, watered, but God gave the increases. God began to come, and here they come into Athens. Athens was a place in Greece, amen, amen. And the Bible says when they had conducted and brought him into Athens and received a commandment. Now, verse 16, it says, now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city holy given to idolatry. Athens had come to a place. Athens was a commerce city. Athens was a place. It was just abounding with so many things, so much culture, so much ideology, and even idol worship, amen, where they come. And he saw the whole city just had given itself completely, amen, unto idol gods. Here was a city who had philosophers. Here was a city who had men of great knowledge and great wisdom, but that was only concerning the things of man. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that what knoweth the things of a man but the things of a man. In other words, they had naturally discerned, and here these philosophers, and here these poets, and here these great Stoics, amen, had come. And these were men of great intelligence. These were men of great knowledge, but they only had the knowledge of man. They did not have the knowledge of truth. You know, the Bible says in Timothy, as James and Jambres was coming, he said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Here at Athens, they had not come to the knowledge of truth. They did not know this Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Thomas and those had not come to the knowledge of truth, even though they had walked with him. Church, we can walk with the truth all our life and never know the truth. Amen. As even his own disciples had followed him, they didn't know the way that he would go. They didn't know where he was going, even though he had instructed them in John chapter 14 that he was going to prepare a place. He was going to prepare a place for them. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He had prepared a place for Thomas. He had prepared a place for Philip. He had even showed them and talked to them about the Father. Tonight, do you know the Father? Do you know the Son? Amen. Have you been stirred to give yourself holy? But tonight, my prayers tonight, I hope that Athens, I hope that those of you that are listening in Greece, I hope those of you, amen, as the Apostle Paul was there in Damascus, Syria, I hope those of you that are listening in Syria tonight will be stirred holy to give yourself holy unto the Lord Jesus Christ and to him only. You've been espoused as a chaste virgin, amen, amen, and you've been given, amen, to the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride has made herself ready, the Bible says in Revelation, amen, and she's been, amen, appointed to wear white linen, amen, pure and holy. You know, the scriptures teach us in Revelation, amen, he says, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire and white raiment, amen, that you might be clothed, that you would not be ashamed. Tonight, God wants to clothe us in his majesty. God wants to clothe us in his glory, but we have to give ourselves and be stirred holy to giving ourselves only to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He was even provoked to a place. And the Bible says, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. There become a dispute, amen, because the city had given themselves wholly unto gods that were not gods. These were men of a tether. You know, the Bible says that traditions and rudiments of men make the word of God of none effect. Athens had the word of God. Paul began to preach, amen, there in Athens, in Berea. They had begun, the word of God had been a door, great and effectual, had been opened unto these cities, amen, as the word of God began to stir them, amen. Here was a, like I said, here was a city that was a great city of great intelligence, of great philosophers, of great poets. Here was a city of commerce, but they had given themselves unto gods that were not gods. These men should have known that the measure that they had. You know, the Bible teaches us, amen, that, amen, in Galatians, or excuse me, Acts chapter 5, that here was Gamaliel. He was a doctor of the law, but all he knew was at the very end of the law. He didn't know the fulfillment. Tonight, church, you need to know the fulfillment of that law, and that fulfillment is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to have the law of Moses, amen. They have the law of Moses, but they couldn't even live under their own law, amen. There were so many ordinances and so many statutes, amen. They had come, even this, they had plotted, amen, against the Lord Jesus Christ to slay him because he had done a great work on the Sabbath day, not knowing that the Lord, amen, he was the Lord of the Sabbath. He was the Lord of his rest, amen. All the Sabbath, amen, was made for man, amen, to enter into the rest of the Lord. Have you been stirred to enter into the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then the Bible says certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics, verse 18, encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Some, he seemed to be a center forth of strange gods because he had preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. They had believed that the resurrection itself was a god. They had believed that Jesus was a separated god from the resurrection. They had believed that the resurrection itself was a god. But you need to know tonight, amen, that Jesus Christ declared that I am the resurrection. He is the raising up from the dead. He is, amen. And they believed, amen, that just about everything was a god at that time. They believed in the mythology, amen. They believed in their own vain imagination. Church tonight, they have not come to the knowledge of God. Church, have you come to the knowledge of God? The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds and everything that exalted itself against what? The knowledge of God. Hosea 4 and 6, I believe it is, it says that they were destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Tonight, do you know the Father? Tonight, do you know the Son? Have you been stirred to move and to come under the knowledge and the grace, the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And the Bible said, and they took him and brought him into Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine, this new teaching is, wherefore thou speakest is, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. You know, I've had many times, amen, I go into the marketplaces here, amen, in the place where I live, and I have many people ask me, say, what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to the church? Church, tonight you have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You have to have an ear to hear what defined, amen, and distinct. The Bible says in the latter days in the book of Timothy that the Spirit will speak it expressly, amen. God distincts distinctly, and the Bible says, for all the Athenians of verse 21 and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else. This is all they did. In Athens there at that time, this was all they doing. They either tell something or to hear some new thing. They wanted to tell some new thing. There was a declaration. I've seen many times. Church, you need to know something tonight. The Scriptures teach us there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says, amen, in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you were too superstitious. In other words, you were too religious in your devotions because you were all about your devotion. You were all about your emotions. You were all about what you're doing. And it was nothing about God. They had not been stirred to move themselves and give themselves wholly unto the Lord. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service unto God. That you, and be ye not, what, conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a transformation by the renewing of the mind. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, 16, I believe it is, that the outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Church, have you been stirred to be renewed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? And the Bible says, for I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. You know, the Bible teaches us, amen, hallelujah, that here it was, they had an altar, they had a place of sacrifice, but their place of sacrifice was to a God that they had never known, a God that they had never had a knowledge of. This was an unknown God. They believed that the altar itself, amen, was enough. They would sacrifice to a God that they did not know his name. But church tonight, there's a name I've given among men whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And church, if you'll receive tonight, amen, if you'll be stirred to move to that name, amen, oh, you'll be saved to the uttermost. But the Bible says they ignorantly worship him. Amen. As Jesus spoke himself unto the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he said, you know not what you worship. We worship, amen, because the hour is, amen, that you'll neither worship in Jerusalem or in Mount Jezreel. There was certain places of worship. There in Athens, they worshiped a certain way, but they didn't know what they worshiped. They had no idea what they were bowing down to. They had given themselves over to idol gods. They had given themselves over to the things, vain imagination and things made with the hands of man. But tonight, church, you serve a God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who doesn't serve things made by hand, but he was the creator, amen. Oh, hallelujah, and he's created you. You are his building, you are his temple. And the Bible said, God, that the God that made the world and all things in it, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You have to understand, amen, that David had in his heart to build God a temple. Amen. He had built, amen, he had dwelt in the tabernacle. He had dwelt in the tabernacle of the congregation in the wilderness. But you need to know tonight, the God that we serve, amen, the heavens and heavens cannot contain him. But there's a place to put his name. Ye know, he said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, you're the temple, and God wants to place his name in you. God wants to stir you to receive his name tonight. Receive his salvation. Receive it. The Bible says, neither is worship with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. God has no we have nothing to give God tonight but ourselves. He has nothing. Nothing you have tonight will meet his need. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. But tonight he gives all life. He gives all breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth. He's brought us into one blood. And that blood is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't make you different what nation we are for, where we come for, to dwell on the face of the earth. And hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they that should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, that he be not far from every one of us. Church tonight, some of you have been feeling round, like in darkness, groping in darkness. The Bible says here in this scripture, they were feeling after him, and they couldn't feel him, but he was right before them. You know why? Because he's the light of the world. You must come to the light tonight, church. You've been walking in darkness, amen. You've been walking in your sin. It's time for you to come out. He says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that you should what? Be called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You've been sitting in darkness. You've been stirred, amen, to give yourself unto doctrines of devils. You've been stirred to give yourself unto idols. But tonight, church, it's time for a new stirring. It's time for a new stirring, a new moving in your life, and moving towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, because he's not far from our salvation is nearer than we believe. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also one of your own poets have said, excuse me, for we are also his offspring. There the poet spoke, amen. Know of the unknown God, he said, of the unknown God. I don't know who he is, but in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. And not only that, but in this unknown God, we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. And at the time of this sickness, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Church, there's a time, amen, he is commanded. He winked at ignorance. He overlooked their ignorance of not knowing who he is. But church, tonight, you have an opportunity. Have you been stirred to move to Jesus? My prayer is tonight that the whole world, that Athens, that Greece, that Syria, that Turkey, that America, that all the nations of the world, that Africa, that Asia, that Macedonia, that all the nations be stirred to give themselves wholly unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been stirred tonight? What have you stirred up? What is stirred up around you tonight? What is moved? Church tonight, it's your choice. Have you been wholly stirred to move to the Lord Jesus Christ? He winked at ignorance once, but he's appointed a day that he will judge the world in righteousness. This is your day appointed to come to Jesus. Will you be stirred and moved unto the Lord Jesus Christ? The opportunity is up to you right now. Just give your heart to Jesus. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise the Lord, Brother John. I appreciate that, brother. And if you don't know the Lord tonight, right now, today, right now is a good time to find him and to try him, taste of him, see that he's true. Praise God. See that he is good, he says. Praise the Lord. I tell you, tonight is a good subject. What are you stirring tonight? Praise the Lord. If you want to be a part of the broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. Praise God. I'm going to come to you with this here song, then Brother Eddie, we want you to obey the Lord here, brother, just a few minutes, okay?
All right.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Brother Eddie, before I get you to come in there, we've got another caller. I just want to acknowledge them, and then we'll have you, Brother Eddie, obey God. 606-356, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Hi, Sister Joanna. This is Sister Gladys from Moorhead, Kentucky.
Praise the Lord, Sister Gladys. Didn't recognize the number. I see it now. Okay.
It's
Brother
my cell
Eddie.
Number.
Oh, okay. Brother Eddie, go ahead and obey God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to say that it's good to be on the broadcast tonight. It's good to be able to sit here and begin to preach the Word of God. And you know what I like about this is we're preaching tonight on what have you got stirred up. And brother, I'll tell you tonight, whenever you begin to get stirred up, that brother, things will begin to be different than they were before you got stirred up. And I remember when they was in the upper room there when the Holy Ghost come, and brother, they began to speak with other tongues, and the Bible said that there was cloven tongues of fire that set upon each one of them. And brother, they began to be stirred up, if you would, and they began to run around like a bunch of drunk people. And brother, they began to speak in tongues, and they couldn't stay in that room. They had to come out, and they had to get out in the street. They had to get out of there, and they come out and began to preach the gospel, and brother, in other languages, if you would. And brother, I want you to know tonight that what John went over here, I kind of felt like going into this a little bit myself. And brother, I'm going to start up here in the 10th verse and of the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, and said, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went to the synagogue of the Jews." And brother, I'll tell you today, if you want to get something stirred up, begin to talk to somebody about, brother, about Jesus in a way that they have not been taught, or that it don't agree with what they've been taught. Brethren, it'll begin to stir people up. And a lot of people might say you're a troublemaker if you do that. But brother, if you're teaching people about the love of God, if you're teaching people about Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the one that died for us, God's only begotten Son of God. Brother, you begin to teach about him, how that he came down here. He was born as a babe. He was placed in a manger. He grew up as a boy in Galilee. Brother, and he become a man. And I'll tell you, he went on. But one day, he felt that stirring down in his heart. Brother, and when he felt that stirring, he went down to where John was baptizing. You see, sometime before Jesus went down there, John felt that stirring down in his heart to get out and prepare the way of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And brother, he went down there and began to tell people they need to come and be baptized and wash away their sin. Brother, and he was out there, and John wasn't no sugarcoating preacher. Oh, I'll tell you tonight, it don't do any good tonight to try to sugarcoat or try to make the gospel easy. Brother, it needs to be preached tonight just like it's written down in the pages of God's Word. God gave it to us just the way that we've got it, and that's the way that we need to preach it. Brother, if it makes people mad, brother, you're a stirring something up. I want you to know sometimes when you get out and you do something for Jesus, there'll be somebody there, or maybe more than one person there, ready to confront you, ready to give you problems. But I want you to know, Paul said he'd been in the deep. Brother, he had been beat with rods. He had been whipped different times. Brother, he had been thirsty. He had been hungry. He had been naked because of preaching the Word of God. Brother, when you begin to stir the devil up, brother, he'll come against you. He'll stand against you, and he'll try to stop you any way that he can. Brother, he said, who come and thither went into the synagogue of the Jews, and John said it on the head. Brother, they believed in the sacrifices of the bulls and the goats, and brother, the pigeons and the turtle. Brother, but that couldn't save anybody. But brother, I'll tell you, when Jesus died and rose again, you had to have faith. You had to have that stirring down in you. Brother, the Bible's called it the washing of the water of the Word. And brother, when the Word of God begins to come in and stir the little heart up, brother, it will cause you to want to come to the Lord. How many testimonies are they? I believe they're incalculable. Brother, that people has told. Brother, that how that God has cleaned them up and delivered them. And brother, even people that were murderers, brother, and he cleansed them and he made them whole. He stirred them up. But brother, these Pharisees, when Paul would get out and go and preach the gospel, brother, even in the synagogue, the Pharisees absolutely would not have the way, would not have the message that he preached, brother, and they had turned against him. But I want you to know it said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily whether those things were so. Brother, these people were smart. They had the scriptures, and they, after they heard it taught, after Paul taught it, brother, they got the scriptures out, and they began to search them scriptures, brother, and to find out if Paul was teaching the truth or not. Brother, they said they were more noble than them in Thessalonica. Let me tell you today, brother, when you begin to get stirred up by the Spirit of God, it'll make you want to dig down deeper. It'll make you want to begin to search the scriptures and make you want to find out, is this man, is this woman telling me the truth, or is it a lie? And brother, you begin to want to find out, and you begin to dig down, and you begin to learn, and you begin to see for yourself. And brother, you find out they're telling you the truth. Brother, and when they tell you the truth, it makes you want more of what they got. Let me tell you today, brother, it said therefore many of them believed. Brother, here in the United States, brother, people are going after the things of the world. Brother, they're turning their back on Christ. They're going into humanism, into this ism, into that ism. Brother, but I want you to know there's one way to God tonight, brother, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's by faith in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And brother, I want you to know wherever you might be tonight listening to this broadcast, brother, God will hear the cry of your heart if you want more. The Bible says if we'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. And brother, I want you to know tonight that God wants to fill you up with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the knowledge about himself. Brother, he wants you to know tonight. He don't want you to go without or to do without tonight. Because, brother, there's a book called the Bible that we preach out of, that we read, that we study, that we teach from, that we preach from tonight. Brother, and when we do that, brother, it'll go out and it'll accomplish what God is sending it out to do. Oh, I'm here to tell you tonight, this is the greatest thing, brother, that anybody I started to say that has got a hold of. But let me turn it around and say it like this. It's the greatest thing that ever got a hold of a man or a woman or a little boy or a girl. Brother, it's this thing called Christianity. Christianity. Oh, I'm here to tell you, when you get born again, Brother God will show himself to you. He'll prove himself to you. He'll begin to teach you and give you understanding and give you wisdom. He said in verse 12, therefore many of them believed, also of the honorable women which were Greeks and of men, not a few. Brother, they was out there. In my mind, I can see this, a great congregation of people, wealthy people, poor people, people that were held in high esteem. Brother, they believed the preaching of the gospel, and brother, when they believed it, they were born again into the family of God, and they believed these things that Paul was teaching. Oh, let me tell you tonight, brother, that all you got to do is believe, and they were believing. Oh, he said that when the Jews, now listen, but when the Jews at Thessalonica acknowledged that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stood up to people. And remember, I'm preaching on, we're preaching on tonight. What have you stirred up, brother, when you begin to get out and you preach the gospel and you begin to stir the devil up? Brother, I want you to know today, brother, that God will keep you. Brother, he can come. The Bible said the devil will come as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you know what? God will let nothing happen to you, brother, until it's your time to go into eternity and be with him. Brother, but these people, they believed. Brother, they were honorable. And brother, I want you to know, they had knowledge of the word of God that Paul preached to them. And he stood up, and the Jews stood up to people. Brother, I want you to know, in that time, brother, the Jews, everywhere Paul went, it seemed like the Jews would come around and stir up trouble because they didn't believe it. They thought they had the only way. And when Jesus said he was the way, and they thought they was the only one. But let me tell you today, there's only one way today. And Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the light. He said in another place, he said, I'm the good shepherd. And in another place, he said, I am the door. Brother, and whenever we go in, we got to go into the sheepfold by the door. Oh, I'm telling you folks tonight, God is waiting tonight for you to call on his name. He said, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timothy abode there still. Brother, they didn't want Paul to wind up perhaps being thrown in jail or in prison, or brother, maybe being persecuted when he shouldn't be for preaching the gospel. And brother, they sent him away. Let me tell you tonight, brother, this thing, brother, that's called salvation tonight. Paul was happy if he had to go to jail. He was happy to go to jail. If he come to being whipped, he was happy to be whipped. He said, I bury my body, the marks of his death, talking about Jesus' death. And brother, I want you to know tonight, brother, that God, he will keep you tonight. He will help you. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment under Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Brother, I want you to know, did you ever have yourself, yourself stood up down in your innermost being. You didn't understand why, but brother, I want you to know why tonight. Brother, that was because what you seen, it wasn't right, and God was moving in you. And brother, I want you to know tonight, when God begins to stir you up, and brother, he wants you to come, he wants to get your attention, brother, that he can minister to you. Oh, listen to what I know tonight. Brother, if you're lost, brother, you don't know probably what I'm talking about, but that you that are saved out there, you know what I'm talking about, that God will stir you up. And Paul seen all of these idols, all of these idolatry going on here, and he was stirred up in his spirit. Let me tell you today, when you live a life that you don't lie to people, and you don't steal from people, and you don't live a life of an unrighteous life, brother, when you see somebody in the wrong and you know they're in the wrong, it'll stir you up. And brother, I want you to know, when you got the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ with you, brother, you can go on. It'll stir you up and make you want to set things right. And that's what Paul was doing here. Brother, he said, therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. See, everywhere that he went, brother, he would go into the synagogues. Brother, he'd begin to talk about this way, brother, that we call Christian a walk of faith tonight, or this walk of Christianity tonight. And he said, and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Brother, I know Paul worked for a living, brother, but it seemed like that everywhere that Paul went, he was preaching the gospel to people. Oh, it seems strange to a lot of people to be on a broadcast maybe like this, but I'll tell you tonight, for them who is right with God, for them who are children of God, there is nothing strange about it. And if you seem strange, it seems strange to you tonight, brother, turn to God tonight and call on his name, brother, that he might bring you into the sheepfold and make you a child of God tonight. Brother, it said then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? And others, some, he seemed to be a sinner for a strange God, because he preached to them Jesus and the crucifixion. Brother, what Paul was telling these people, it just seemed like babbling to them. Their eyes wasn't open to it. Their ears wasn't open to it. Their heart wasn't open to it. And therefore it seemed like babbling to them. But brother, I want you to know, for the people whose eyes, ears, and heart were opened, brother, it wasn't babbling. But brother, it was the water of life that was coming forth. It was the Lord Jesus Christ coming forth by the word of God that was being preached. Let me tell you, he said, some of them said he seemed to be a set of word of strange God. But brother, it's again, Jesus is a stranger to them who are not born again tonight. But brother, to them that's born again, brother, he's not a stranger. And I want to tell you tonight, brother, you don't got to be a stranger any longer. All you got to do is call on his name. Brother, Paul was stirred up in his spirit. And let me say this. If you do something for Jesus, and if you really get in his territory, you'll get the devil stirred up. And brother, he'll stand up against you. And he'll try his best to stop you. And if he can't stop you one way, he'll try his best to stop you another way. But brother, all you got to do is be faithful to the Lord, and he'll be faithful to you. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before man, He said, I'll confess you before my Father. And, oh, listen to me. Neither death, nor principalities, nor angels, nor powers of darkness. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Once you get in, get that love of God in your heart, and you give your life to the Lord and begin walking after Him, because He will come to your rescue. The Bible said that He won't allow any more to come upon you than you can bear. And with that, He'd make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Honey, I want you to know tonight that He's waiting tonight. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And He said, if you'll, any man will hear my voice and open up, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me. And He's talking to you tonight. May God bless you. Sister Green, I'll give it back to you. Appreciate you letting me be on here tonight. God bless you.
Praise God. We appreciate you too, Brother Eddie. That's wonderful preaching, and praise God. God is so good. Do you want to be part of this broadcast? 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. Praise the Lord. We're going to have this caller here introduce herself. 770-855.
It's Sister Robin. I'm just listening, Sister Green.
Praise the Lord, Sister Robin. Good to have you on here. Okay,
this is
sis.
Exciting.
Amen, amen. I'm glad to, I tell you, you encourage us. Every time you call in like that, you pray for us, sis. Brother Yearwood, why don't you come on in, brother, and obey God.
Okay. Sister, we got several prayer requests that's real urgent here. We'd like to turn in for everybody to pray for first, if you don't mind.
Amen.
The Way, Truth, and Life Church says they want everyone to pray for a young preacher named Van that has backslidden. He used to be on fire for God, and his wife and family are real heartbroken. Please bring his name before the Lord. And then my nephew, Norman, he's raising his twin girls. He's been raising them ever since they was little small kids by himself. And he found out that he's got scoliosis of the cirrhosis of the liver. And he was electrocuted several years back, and the doctor said that this is what caused it. So remember him in your prayers. He needs to be well so he can raise those girls. And my niece Brenda Moses and her daughters are getting ready to have a kidney transplant here on the 19th. So remember them. And remember the Queen family. They lost another family member. And remember Lloyd Ray as he goes for surgery on the 15th on his elbow. And Wanda and Rufus Bivens, they've been having treatments, and they need a miracle in their bodies. Christy Yearwood is in the Park West Hospital and needs a miracle. Her kidneys are not working, and she's got bad blood levels. And a lady named Debbie and a lady named Martha are in the hospital and need prayers. And Pastor Jerry Summers, he's the Western Band of the Cherokee Indians chief out in Missouri. He had a stroke last Friday, and he don't know anyone, so everyone remember him and his church.
Praise the Lord. So we know Pastor Summers, the Indian chief. We know him personally. We've been in service with him several times, and really been blessed by being in services with him. Tonight, I know we're speaking on what have you got stirred up. I want to read a verse here in first chapter of Acts in verse 8. To start out with, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, tonight I was just thinking there the Holy Ghost is something will stir us up. And, you know, I was thinking our brother John and our brother Eddie brought it out, you know, Paul and Silas, them two men, they turned the world upside down with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I've been thinking, you know, they were just men. They were just in one little area. But praise God, God made it possible for that we're here tonight. There's a few of us here that's covering the whole world. If they'd have had the means like we've got to reach out and to touch the world, they would have done some damage, and they would have all been done good for God. And you know, I tell you, their fame went out, and it covered the whole world. And tonight, my friend, I'm going to tell you, our fame is going out across this land. We may think it's not going, but it is a going, because his word said that it wouldn't return to him void, but accomplish what he sent forth for it to do. He's sending the word tonight, and the power of the Holy Ghost. As Paul said there in one place, he said that he come in not enticing words, but in power and a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we're doing here tonight. We're not coming in enticing words of men, but we're coming in the power and a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We're covering this world. We're covering this planet with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you what, the people can reach out and they can receive tonight. All they've got to do is just reach up and look out to Jesus, because he's sitting there on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and I tonight and for everybody else. All they've got to do is just realize that they need the Lord as their personal Savior. And when they realize that, all they've got to do then is just invite him into their life. Then he will come in to them. He will touch them and forgive them of their sins. I'm going to let Betty read here for me tonight. We're going to read the first place in Romans 8 and 29. Praise the Lord. 11:29.
For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance.
To hear the gift and the calling of God without repentance. You know, I think back there just about that young preacher that Sister Betty was reading about there is backslid now. And he's gone away. He's not walking the ways that he used to walk. He's not talking the talk that he used to talk. And he's needing help. He's needing prayer. And we got to have to lift him up. And we're going to have to pray the Holy Ghost back down on him, that he will touch him and he will not go, because he can't repent of something that he's not doing. The only way he can repent is be preaching the Word of God. And I'm telling you tonight, what have we got stirred up? I tell you, I've got the presence of the Holy Ghost. I feel it stirring in my spirit and in my bones. I feel it just like Jeremiah said over there, just like fire shut up in my bones. I praise God for it tonight. Hallelujah. Because God is a God. He will set us on fire if we would just only let him. If we were here, and as the Bible teaches over there in Revelation, it says, them that have a ear, let them hear of what the Spirit says to the church this day. My friend, we need to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us today. We need to be willing to obey the Spirit of God and let it go forth across this land. Let it touch the lost souls out there. Let it touch the preachers and the ministers, the lay members that is just lukewarm, because he said he'd rather that we'd be cold or hot than lukewarm. He said if we're lukewarm, he was going to spew us out of his mouth. I'm going to tell you, church, it's time that we wake up. It's time that we realize, hallelujah, where that we stand and who that we stand for. I'm going to tell you tonight how we better stand for God. We better glorify him. How we better lift his name up highly, because he's going to soon come back. And as Brother Eddie said there a while ago, praise God, if we don't confess him before the people, then he'll not confess us before the Father. I'm going to confess him before this lost and dying generation. I want to hear him confess me before the Father and before the angels. I want them to know one day that when I come through the gates, that Lord Yearwood has made us in turn, that he's made this connection. I want to know tonight, my friend, that we've got something stirred up in us, hallelujah, that's reaching out across this land, telling the world that they must repent if they want to make heaven their home. Praise God. Hallelujah.
2 Timothy 1:6-9. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand.
Praise God. You know, Paul there, he's talking, and he said, praise God, he said, by putting on his hands would stir up the gift within. I'm going to tell you tonight, my friend, we need to go forth. We need to be placing our hands upon the people, stirring something up, stirring it up in them, get their lives tuned up. You know, it's a time and a time that we live, that it's time that we really turn our lives around and really get on fire for God. I'm going to tell you, we don't know the time or the day or the hour that the Lord's going to come back. But we do know one thing, that he's going to soon come back, because we look at the Middle East and we see all the stuff that's going on there. I don't believe the Lord's going to let it go on. I believe he's going to do like he said he was going to do. He's going to shorten the days for the very elect's sake. He said if he didn't shorten, there wouldn't be no flesh saved. My friend, he's not going to let his people perish and go to hell. But he's going to take care of them. And we need to have the power of the Holy Ghost straight up in us. That as Brother Eddie was saying a while ago, where Paul went, he was preaching the word. And my friend, that's what you and I are charged to do. Everywhere that we go, we're supposed to be telling the world about Jesus. It don't matter what they don't believe. It don't matter what they think about you. Just confess it, because God will take care of you. He'll watch over you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah.
For praise. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Praise God. You see, praise God. God has given us a spirit, praise God, of not of fear, but of love and the power and a sound mind. And I tell you what, tonight, my friend, the sound mind people is the one that's been born again, has been stirred up, has been washed in the blood of Jesus, and has, I believe, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will watch over us, and he'll take care of us. It won't let us have a fear, but praise God, it will give us a life, hallelujah, that will see us through the kingdom. My friend, one day, praise God, we're going to hear him say, well done, hallelujah, praise God.
Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, for of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God.
Praise God. You see, he's telling us here, praise God, right there in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, praise God, God is telling us here that we're supposed to have power, and you know, and be praise of God, hallelujah, have the power to glorify him and be in affliction. You know, Praise God, Paul. He said over there, hallelujah. In one passage of scriptures, he said he counted it all joy, friend, to be able to suffer the persecution for the gospel. And you know, that's what you and I, if we got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our lives, we should have that same feeling that Paul had. You know, Paul, just a man just like you are, just like I am. Praise God, but we don't need to fear what man can do to us, but just fear him that can destroy both body, soul, and in hell. But praise God, I'm going to tell you, the Lord will watch over us. He'll take care of us. We just need to magnify him and glorify him and lift him up and worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, before the world began.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you hear what the Word said there? Praise God. Now, verse 9, okay. Who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us to in Christ Jesus before the foundation, before the world began. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, tonight, my friend, God has called us into this. We're not called into it by our own self. We're not made to be nothing of our own self, but God has called us into his works. And we need just glorify him and just magnify him and worship him and lift him up because I'm going to tell you, if we don't magnify the Lord, we don't lift him up, we're liable to come up short. I know the Bible said that we've all sinned, come up short of the glory of God, but I believe that we're going to have to be able to cry out and to stir up the gift within. I tell you what, there's a lot of times that I've been in revivals, and the Lord laid this message on my heart by just stirring up the gift within them, by just laying on hands. And I tell you what, I've seen God stir up the gifts. I've seen people shout and rejoice because, not just because of Lord Yearwood, but because the presence of the Almighty touched them. And I tell you what, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go forth and lay hands on people, and they're supposed to shout the victory, if they've got any victory at all. And I believe, praise God, that people can be stirred tonight. I believe they've been stirred all around this world tonight, not because of Lord Yearwood, or not because of Brother John, or Brother Eddie, or Brother and Sister Green, or Brother Sister Gladys, but I'm going to tell you, it's because the Word of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's on this Word is touching people around this world, and that's what it's going to take to get us all into the kingdom of God. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, but to preach the Word, instant, in season, out of season, rebuke and reprove and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine of Christ. And I tell you, I thank God tonight for this, and I want to say that I appreciate each and every one of you coming on our Tuesday night and holding our program down. It's just that we couldn't get on. We'd get on and we'd lose contact. We couldn't get back in there. We'd try and we couldn't, but we got on the internet and we listened to you guys, and you've done a wonderful job for us. And we sure do appreciate you. God bless you. And I'll turn it back to you, Sister Green.
Praise the Lord. That's a good word there, Brother Yearwood. And you're sure welcome. And you guys have covered for us before. We appreciate that. And we appreciate you showing this here to us, this Blog Talk Radio, and we thank God that we're still able to preach His Word in our country. Praise the Lord. And
amen.
If we're coming to you and to your country, praise the Lord that this is able to be preached out there. And I just love the Lord, and you know His coming is very soon. We can all agree with that, we are living at that time. We are living now in the time when the disciples, they thought when Jesus would send it up, that they stood there and the angel asked, "Why stand ye there gazing?" It wasn't time for Jesus to come back right then, but you know, we're still looking, and He is coming. Praise God, that's for sure. Praise the Lord. God is so good, I tell you. I'm getting excited. Everybody's done so well in preaching, as you always do, and just appreciate every one of you. We have several prayer requests, and I'm going to name some of them, and then we're going to have Sister Gladys come in and obey God. Sister Elizabeth Ivan, she says, please pray for her. Brother Joel Collins says, Joanna, I could use prayers. The Lord knows my situation, and I need a word from Him. Sister Tanya Green says, I have an unspoken one that I need desperately for God to answer. Sister Darlene Fannin says, health and finances. Sister Linda Fry, she says, my grandson and his wife, please and thank you. God bless. Sister Danielle Rogers says, yes, pray for her. Sister Becky Carpenter, she says, pray for her son, her daughter. We're both serving the Lord, and both have been out for a long time. My grandson needs the Lord too. God has done so much for him, even brought him through near death, but He has never surrendered to Him yet. I'll never give up on any of them, but I do need help praying for them. Thank you, she says. Sister Gladys, she says, pray for Brother John, Uncle Gary, Aunt Jo, her family, and Jack. Brother Tim Hall says, pray for Sister Frida and himself. Sister Teresa Amberge says, several unspoken requests. Sister Barbara Galdry says, her family, please. Sister Tuesday Burke says, pray for her family. Very important. A lot going on. We need prayers. Sister Shirley Matney says, pray for her family. Sister Barbara Wright says, pray for her son, Ben, for salvation, and he has acute bronchitis. Pray for healing. Sister Bonnie Burke, she's the one, she gave a testimony last week that her husband has been completely healed of cancer. Praise God. But she says also to remember her home, her two sons, her daughter need the Lord, and husband also, all grandchildren, and thank you. Sister Angel Bartlett says she'd like prayers for our country and our loved ones. Please, everyone, take a moment to this is so very crucial, she says. Thank you. God bless. Sister Judy Williams says, please pray for a family. I know they really need God's help. Sister Crystal Clark says, my family, an unspoken prayer request. Sister Pauline Hamlin says, yes, pray for her. Thank you. Sister Suzanne Field says her mother is having a biopsy. They found a suspicious lump, and she lives with her mamaw, who just had a stroke on Sunday. So let's keep them in prayer. Sister Cora Reed says, pray for my sister and brother-in-law. God knows all about their needs. And she says, thank you. Praise God. So we got to remember all those, as well as Brother Yearwoods and Sister Betty Yearwoods, and praise God. We'll have Brother John and Brother Eddie to turn in prayer requests too, and Sister Robin. And Sister Gladys, we want you to go ahead and obey the Lord, sis.
Okay, well, praise God. It's going to be a little bit, I hope you guys can hear me, because I'm on my cell phone tonight, and I can't hear anybody on that side except your voices. So I want to praise God tonight, Sister Joanna. I appreciate you and Brother Green, and I thank you for allowing me to come on the broadcast. I'm going to touch base here and there with my scriptures, but, you know, I want to give God a praise and give him all glory and honor, because I went to the doctor yesterday, and, you know, sometimes people think, well, God's waiting too long, and I'm seeking. My son told me yesterday, he said, I'm seeking God's faith. And he said, and I'm really praying, Mom. He said, but I'm running out of time. And I said, son, what do you think about me? I said, I went to the doctor's office yesterday. Still, the symptoms were in place. But praise be to God. When I left that doctor's office, he said, I didn't have to have surgery like the first doctor said. And he was mentioning how I had a scar. And I know that scar may be there, but it may be that God healed and touched. There were four or five sisters that gathered around me, and the one sister gathered around me, and she said, now, sisters, I want you to pray for her as that she was your mother. And they did. They sincerely cried out to God. And the one that was leading the prayer, she said, God, you know my heart. She stood there before me with tears in her eyes. And that touched my heart. And I said, God, I have had people like Sister Betty and Brother Lloyd and different people, Sister Jen, all crying out and praying in agreement with me, standing firm on the word that by his stripes we are healed. And I give him glory for those scriptures. You know, when we're going through a tough time, he said, stand on my word. And I know today we're going through something, but again, I'm going to stand firm on the word of God, Philippians 4:19, and he'll carry us through, that he will provide and supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. I glorify my God. You know, I told the Lord when I was in prayer, I said, Lord, yeah, I would go under the knife if that's what your will is. If there's a nurse needs to be spoken to, you know I will do it, Lord. But you know already that you would get more glory by me coming through and telling people that you healed my body. And I told him, Lord, I said, I will boast on you. I will tell the people at the church. I will tell the people on the broadcast. And I'm doing that just tonight. You know, I praise my God because he's still the healer. He was the healer in the past. He's going to be the healer in the future. He changes not, and I thank him for that. Because if you're going through a crisis, you're going through a trial, and you beg and plead and you say, Lord, I don't understand, but I've learned to do this. I say, Lord, I may not understand, but I trust you. If we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ the way we say that we do and read our word and trust in the word of God, then we can't fail. And I give him glory for that. The first scripture I want to read is on faith, and it says in Matthew 17:20-21, I did this very thing. It says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I spoke to that mountain, and it did move. It says, howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. You know, I'm not bragging on me, but when my son was going through his addiction, he was going through a hard time in his life, I did the Daniel fast, and I prayed to him, and I said, God, you see the problem that he's going through, and those kind of things, you have to get, you've got to really, truly pour your heart out into God, and you've got to be faithful unto it, and you've got to know that the word is true. It says that some of these things don't come out by just regular praying. You've got to get on your knees, and you've got to cry out to God, and you've got to mean what you're saying and cry out to him. And by praying and fasting, it's come off his life. And I give God the glory tonight, because there was a time in my life my son didn't know whether he was coming and going. So I praise God that I no longer had to worry about him coming into my home. And no longer have to worry anymore about him being too drunk to drive. I don't have to worry anymore that he's shooting up some. I don't have to worry anymore because the love of Jesus touched my son. He took that addiction away. And only God, the God that we serve, that never stepped off the throne, can do such a thing as this. You know, we sing a song that says, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. And that's so true. I've gone through different things, and people say, well, poor Gladys. No, I'm not poor Gladys, because I've got a promise. I know that he's given me the gift, and I'm bragging on my God. It has nothing to do with me, that I will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I want to live the life that God said I could live. According to his word, I can be what the word says I can be, and I can do what the Bible says I can do, and I glorify him tonight. I'm stirred up my spirit because he's increased my faith once again, Sister Joanna. You know, when you go through a lot of trials, sometimes you get hindered and you get buffeted from every side. You may not understand things, and sometimes we can get hardened in our heart, but I praise my God that he's still a God that he was when I got on my knees and cried out to him. And I thank him for that. In Psalms 35:23, it says, "Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord." 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands." Brother Lloyd touched that very well. You know, there's many people in the church house today that they may benefit. They would benefit, in all honesty. I'm not going to say they may, because if they let the elders of the church cry out for them and lay hands upon the sick and lay hands upon them when they're discouraged, the Lord Jesus Christ will encourage them in their spirit. Psalm 19:14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I praise God because in Psalm 21 it tells me he's my redeemer. He will shelter me from the storm. He's my high tower. He's all those things and more and more and more. I can't even describe how good God has been to me and my family. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." You know, this is a good provoking. A lot of times people want to provoke you in a mean way, but we need to encourage our brothers and sisters and let them know you can go through, you can take another step, you can grow closer to God if you keep walking the path that you're walking. In Galatians 5:13-18, I like what Sister Joanna said. You know, we can do more and more for the Lord if we check ourselves with the fruits of the Spirit. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called into liberty." Those are my words, not Sister Joanna. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I have to question sometimes, do people even love themselves? If they don't love themselves, then they definitely can't love their neighbor. But, you know, that's one of the hardest things I've grown to know, is as a child I was beat down. I was actually abused, my brother, with my brother, physically and verbally. And sometimes the verbal abuse is just as bad as the physical. But there came a day when I was called out by a minister. He said, "No longer will you look down at the floor. You'll look someone into the eye and know that you are worthy by Jesus Christ. When he saved you, you became worthy. And it's only by the blood of the Lamb that I became worthy. I'm nobody except in Jesus Christ. I became somebody. It's only through Jesus, not by my own doing." But I praise God that I have liberty tonight to preach the Word of God and set the captives free. And in verse 14, it says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself." Verse 15, it says, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." You know, many people have been church hurt today. And there's a restaurant we go into many times over, and some people said they won't go there because they've seen drug deals outside. But you know, that man can't control what goes on outside in the parking lot. I do know this: his daughter died of drugs, so I know that he wouldn't support it. But if you've got police officers in the county that will support that sort of thing, and they want the codes on your cameras, there's not a whole lot you can do but cry out and pray to God that he covers your place. But what I'm getting at is, sometimes when we go in there, it seems like different people that are lost and backslid upon the Lord will come by Tim and I, and we will talk to them about the Lord again and let them know that time is winding up. We're in the last days, and that these ISIS people overseas, that soon they'll be on our soil, and they need to get ready. And they'll say, "Yeah, I know." But someday it'll be too late to say, "Yeah, I know." Verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one of the other, one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Even Paul said, what he would wanted to do. Sometimes he didn't do. Those are, I'm paraphrasing there, those are my words. In John 3:30, it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's the thing that I know today. If I can get out of God's way and I can decrease, get the flesh out of the way, sometimes we got to do some fasting for the flesh that enjoys eating too much and enjoys sitting around and taking up time. Any more of my passions about the Lord Jesus Christ from the time I wake up in the morning till the time I lay my head to rest, my passions about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need that. I want that constantly stirred up, Sister Joanne. I want that passion to continue on and get stronger and stronger, because I know now that we're in the last days, we've got to pour out the gospel. And I praise God for these broadcasts that you've allowed me to be on. Not that I'm anybody, but we're reaching many, many nations that have never heard of Jesus Christ. And I've got a couple more scriptures, and I'll turn it back over to you. In Galatians 5:23, it says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Then in Galatians 5:22, let me start there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. In verse 23. And in Ephesians 5:9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And so my Bible tells me that we need love. I believe if we have love, the kind of love Jesus had, then we can spread the gospel. We can talk about our Lord Jesus Christ. Like Brother Lloyd said, if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us. But I don't want him to ever be ashamed of me. Anybody that spends very much time with me, they'll know who I serve and what my life is all about. I don't sit and talk about them. I don't sit and talk, which if that's what you do, you know, that's none of my business, and I'm not trying to judge you or criticize you. I just know what I talk about. My focus, my main focus in my life is Jesus and getting souls saved. Want my family saved, want my children saved. They're coming because the Holy Spirit's already dealing with their hearts. So I give God the glory, and I thank you once again, Brother and Sister Green, for allowing me on this broadcast. I'll turn it back over to you, Sister Joanne.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Sister Gladys, and praise God. And you know, I thank the Lord that he allows us to do this, Sister Gladys. Coming a time, we don't know how much longer that we'll be allowed to preach like this, and you know, we're not disclosing any longer our location. We just decided not to do that. And I know that there's many archived broadcasts that people can listen to if they'd like to. But we just feel not to do that right now. We're not afraid. Like Brother, was it Brother Eddie or Brother Yearwood? One was talking about it. Paul considered it an honor to be persecuted for Jesus' sake. And, I put on Facebook tonight along with all the other prayer requests, and I'll just put it out here on Blog Talk Radio also. Pray that our country will never see this group that is slaughtering Christians. It's coming. Amen. I believe it's Bible that is coming. I'm not afraid. And God is merciful. Praise the Lord. And, you know, if such a thing would come to our country, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, it just, you know, I don't want to go that way. But, you know, if that's the way it's going to be, then that's the way it is. I will serve God all the way till my last breath is breathed in my body. Praise God. Talk about a stirring. Brother Yearwood, you sure did pick a good subject, because it sure has me stirred. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and obey God here for just a few minutes, and then we'll pray over the prayer request. We'll get some others to turn in prayer requests as well, and then we'll have Brother Clint to come in, and he's going to obey God. But in Luke 23, I was thinking, and of course, praise the Lord, I always try to tell that we go by the King James Bible only, And thank God all of our callers do as well. But anyway, the Bible says in Luke 23, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him into Pilate. And they begin talking about Jesus, and they begin to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." And that's what I want to tell you, is in verse 5 of Luke 23, it says, "And they were more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people." Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And you know, that's what Jesus did when he walked upon this earth. He stirred them up. And you know, just you and I, we take on the name of Jesus when we get saved, and that's who we go to when we ask for repentance, is Jesus Christ. And that stirs up people. That stirs up the devil that's in people. And they can't stand it. They can't stand this stirring. God said that he would shake everything that can be shaken. And you know, this world, like Brother Yearwood said, that Paul, I believe, and Silas turned this world upside down. They started to preach into Asia. Praise God. They began to take it from where the Jews were, and they began to branch out, and they had journeys that they went on. Praise God. They began to stir. And praise the Lord, when you and I got saved, there was a stirring that took place in our soul. Praise the Lord. There's a stirring on the news. When the Christians are being beheaded and slaughtered for the name of Christ, for the name of Christianity, praise God. There's a stirring taking place in the land today. But I want to be unmovable, steadfast, that the devil can't even move, praise the Lord. And I will not move. They're singing a song in church, praise the Lord, the old time religion. We sing songs in the red hymnal book, said, "I shall not be moved." Praise the Lord. Whatever comes our way, whatever comes to this country, praise God. I've got an Aunt Betty that she'd always say, "If I have to give my head, praise the Lord, I'm going to serve God anyhow." And I say that too. I took the words right from her. If I have to give my head, I will serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life. He said he will go with us even to the end of the world. Praise the Lord. There's not another day after that except for the millennial reign. That's the day of the Lord. But we're talking about now. Praise the Lord. We're talking about this time. Praise the Lord. When there's sinners and praise God. I'm getting some feedback, so I'm going to put everybody on mute. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm just going to kind of mute everybody. There we go. Praise the Lord. But God is so good. So Jesus went around and he stirred them up. And they were angry. They were mad that they even took him to Pilate. And they accused Jesus of saying that he is the Christ. And he is the Christ. Praise God. He is the King of the Jews. And Jesus, and when he asked Jesus, Pilate asked, "Art thou the King of the Jews? Thou sayest it." Jesus said, in other words, "Yes, I am. You said it." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." Praise the Lord. It's been known all down through time, people have accused the Jews, the natural Jews, of killing Jesus. When Pilate washed his hands and he turned him over to Herod, and Herod himself, he's the one that he left it up to the people, and they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Oh, praise God. There's a stirring taking place tonight in this world. There's a stirring across the land, praise the Lord. And I want to go to you with a praise the Lord. Let me go flip over real quick to Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be hewn down. Praise the Lord. There's not going to be one king. There's not going to be one president. There's not going to be any kingdoms that are going to be left standing. Praise God. When Jesus was hewn out of the mountain, that stone that was came down from rolling from Babylon, that tore down the kingdoms of this world, that's what Jesus was talking about right there when he said, there shall not be left not one stone upon another. There are not no high places or no high seats. As a matter of fact, they're going to run to the mountains, and they're going to cry for the mountains, the rocks to fall upon them, and then they shall not die at that time. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? He praised God, and he began to tell them all about the end of the world, not the end of the Jews and then beginning of the Gentiles. They wanted to know what is the end of the world. So he started to tell them, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. He's talking to you and I today. Today, folks, he's not just talking to them back then. Praise the Lord. He is talking to me and you right now. This is the end of the world. We can all agree that this is the end. Praise the Lord. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Praise that has been happening all along, and it's still happening today. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. All along there's been wars and rumors of wars. Even back then there was wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes and quakes in divers places. Many people like to quote this for the end time. But they'll take part of Matthew 24 and say that was just for them back then. But then they'll take this scripture and they'll pull it out and say, but at the end there's going to be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All of Matthew 24 is for you and I today, folks. The question was, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations. For what? For my name's sake. That is what's happening over in the third world countries right now as I speak. They are being hated, they're being persecuted for the name of Jesus. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We see that, folks. And he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I remember Paul Crouch saying that he would quote this very scripture right here. He was so excited that they were able to preach the gospel unto all the world. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Praise God. You and I are the temple of God. When you see the abomination of desolation standing, spoken by Daniel, the prophets, stand in the holy place. Where is that holy place? The holy place is the temple of God, which is you and I, which is a person, people. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. back up here to verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Them that are born again, let them flee in the hiding place. Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty shall in the shadow praise God of the Most High God. Praise the Lord. I'm paraphrasing that. I'm not saying it quite right. But it's Psalms 91 if you'd like to read that. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back and take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Meaning, woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Those are talking about the Christians that are on the milk of the word that don't quite understand the depthness of everything. It says, woe to them. Praise the Lord. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Don't be cold on the Lord. When you leave this world, when you die, don't be cold on God. Not to let your flight be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Don't be caught resting, slumbering, and sleeping in your lamp without oil, as the five foolish virgins did. For then shall be a great tribulation. That's coming, folks. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Never has ever been a time such as coming that we're getting ready to see right here on our own land. And it's not just here in our land, it's all over the world. It's happening, folks. We are there at the end. Right now, you need to make a decision whether you're going to serve God, living God that created everything, Jesus Christ. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word is God. The Word was God, and the Word is God. Praise the Lord. That's Jesus. Nothing that was created except by Him. Everything was created by Him. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. It is possible. It says, if it were possible. It is possible. People backslide every day. It's possible to be deceived. Don't be deceived, he's saying. Behold, I have told you before, he said. So he's warning us not to be cold, not to let our flight be in the winter. He's warning us not to be babes in Christ that give suck in those days. He's warning us not to be deceived, if we can, not to follow the false prophet. He's telling us what is coming. There's a great tribulation like never been before, no, nor ever shall be again. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth, behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. The Bible says that when Christ comes, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That means as fast as the lightning can go from the east to the west, that's how fast Jesus is coming. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. When Jesus comes, those that are dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain shall be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. That's at his coming. And then after those days, as Jesus comes, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Praise the Lord. The question was, the disciples had asked, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. I hope I'm being clear here, folks. I hope this is a stirring you, because it sure has stirred me. But get ready, because as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Praise the Lord. It talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, too. It would be worse than the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's happening today all over the land, right here in our land, praise God, that there are passing these ungodly marriages that God forbids, that the reason he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Praise the Lord. If I never get to speak again, hallelujah, I'm going to tell it right now while we're listening, that we cannot be like Sodom and Gomorrah. God will have to raise them up and apologize to them. And he's not going to do that. And he's not going to let this world go like this. I tell you what, Paul and Silas turned the world upside down. And I feel like I'm turning the world upside down. There's a stirring took place in my soul. You better get right while you can. You better work while it's day, because night cometh when no man can work. Praise God. Jesus is soon coming, and we better be ready. Oh, praise be to God. He said they would be, before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, until the church has gone out of here. Praise God. This word is going to be preached. Praise the Lord. I'm sure they laughed and they stirred and they grumbled and mumbled and complained that Noah was building the ark. It had never rained before, and they didn't believe him, and he went ahead and he built the ark anyway. Praise the Lord. And the flood didn't come until he entered in. God's not going to pour out his wrath, praise the Lord, until the church is out of here, all them that are born again. And then there's no other day after that except the millennial reign with Christ. And us that are born again will reign with Christ there 1,000 years. Praise the Lord. And the dead live not again until after the millennial reign. Praise God. I took up a lot of time. I know my husband's got a lot to say. Praise God. I tell you what, it's just like it says, and then two will be in the field, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Which therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Praise God. We don't know the day or the hour, but like Brother Eddie Bolton said, he said to watch and pray. God said to watch and pray. He said to be ye sober. If the goodman of the house would have been watching, the thief and the robber wouldn't have came in and stole from him. We lay our treasures up in heaven where the moth and the rust doesn't corrupt, praise God, and the thief can't enter in and steal it, praise God. So you know what? They can have everything on this earth. I'm just a pilgrim in a strange land, but my God owns it all. He owns 1,000 cattle on the hill. Praise God, he owns my soul. Yes, he does. And I will never denounce my Lord Jesus Christ. He'll always be my Savior all the way to the end. He said, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. They got a chopping block for my head. Praise God. And they say, is Jesus Christ your King? I'll say, thou sayest. Just like Jesus told Pilate, thou sayest it. Praise God. Here's my husband. Praise the Lord, Brother Clint.
Praise God. I want to thank everybody for coming on tonight. And this is a good subject. And I tell you, it's time that we get stirred for God. It's Woo! Time that we get woke up. And, you know, it seems like the church is sleeping. But it needs to wake up. It needs to get back to the old path where is the good way and walk therein and find that old path and seek out that good way. Praise God. Seems like today that, you know, the church would rather do other things than take up the cross and follow Christ. And, you know, they're... playing their games and different things, and the call of God is upon many, and they're running from that call. And I tell you, it's gonna be a bad day if we don't follow the call of God. And I'm so glad tonight that I'm saved by grace, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm not turning around. I'm not slowing down. You know, sometimes we get a little older, we do slow down in the natural, and we don't have the vitality that we used to have when we was younger. But I tell you, whatever we do have, we need to put it in the Lord's work. We need to lay up our treasure where the moth and rust cannot corrupt, and the thieves cannot break through and steal. And where the Bible said our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So we need to put what we can into the work of God, because someday there's going to be a payday. There's going to be a reckoning day someday, and we're going to stand before God, and the books is going to be opened. And, you know, the Christian's not going to be there at that great white throne judgment there in Revelation 20 when those books are opened, but because that's the last resurrection. The first resurrection, we will be the ones that have our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we'll be going to heaven to receive our rewards. And but there's still going to be a record on the life that we lived. And we're not going there to be judged for our sins, but we're going to stand before Christ for him to tell us what we have received. Praise God. And now I'm glad tonight that I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey getting sweeter every day. And whatever it takes for me to make it, that's what I'm willing to do. I don't want to come up short, and I don't want to miss hearing him say, "Thou a good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of the Lord." And I don't want him to put me on the left hand, but I want to be on the right hand of God, and I want to be working for Jesus. And I'll tell you, there's been some good preaching tonight, and I tell you, it's time, like I said earlier, to be stirred. I tell you, we're running out. We're running out of time. Praise God. Time is running out. And if we don't do something now, we're not going to be able to do nothing. I tell you, David said, "I once was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread." I tell you, God will take care of us. If we give our heart to the Lord, then the Lord, you know, he's our Father, and he'll take care of us once we become a child of God. If you're not a child of God tonight, I want to encourage you to pray, find you a place, make you an altar. And, you know, I've made an altar and put it in one of my rooms, the rooms in my house, one of them. And, I go there and I pray at that altar. And I don't always pray at that altar. Sometimes I'll pray by my bedside or wherever I'm at. But I tell you, it's time to pray. And it's time to seek God, because I tell you, the time that we're living in, we're living in perilous times. And we see things that are going on today that people probably never saw. We can see it on the TV and on these computers and things, and they're showing people what's going on in the world. And we know that the gospel is being preached, and the scripture tells us that when this gospel is preached in all the kingdom, all the world, then shall the end come. And so we know today that we're close to the end. We know that if you don't get in, you might miss it. If you wait too long, you'll be like the people that was in Noah's day when the ark was being prepared, and God was a long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And we're preaching on stirring up the gift that's in you. If you're a backslider tonight, you need to get back to God. You're running out of time. God, you know, people think they're never going to die, but you go out here to the graveyard, you see all the different names, and you see the ages of the different people that have died, and they're all ages. I'll tell you, death and no respecter of person. I'll tell you tonight, The only protection you got is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, you need a covering. You need be under that shadow of the Almighty. You need to be in that secret place of the Most High. And I believe it was David said, 1,000 will fall at my right hand, 10,000, or left hand, 10,000 at my right hand. And I'll see these things happening, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now I'll tell you, he can protect us in every situation, no matter how bad that it might get. God can put a hedge all around you. Praise God. Now, I'm talking to somebody tonight. I'm asking you to pray. Call upon the Lord Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart. Tell him that you're sorry for your sins and make a new creature out of you. And you'll give your life to God and you will be a Christian and serve him all the days of your life. And you'll never regret it, because he is the only way to heaven. He's that door that somebody was preaching about tonight. Somebody said something about the door. You know, Jesus said, I am the door. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come to the Father but by me. And it's through that wonderful name of Jesus. You know, there, and I believe it's in the book of Matthew where the Bible said his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. And you can be one of his people tonight if you'll ask him to come into your heart. You tell him you're sorry for your sins, and you are turning your life over to him, and let him do with you what he would have to do, and become a Christian, become a follower of Christ, and believe on him. I thank God that we are serving a God that is a God of love. And he's a God that's not willing that souls would be lost, but that they'd be found. And no matter what kind of a religion you might be in tonight, the great God of heaven, he wants you to be saved. And there's salvation in the name of Jesus. And there's no other salvation besides that wonderful name of Jesus. I believe it's in the book of Acts, and 4:12. The Bible said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby that we might be saved. And we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. The Bible tells us we can't work our way to heaven. We can't come up with some other plan. We've got to go with God's plan. We're going to pray tonight and ask the Lord to move for the praise God. Turn it back over to Sister Joanna.
Praise the Lord. Brother John, do you have any prayer requests, brother?
Yes, I do, Sister. Robert Chung with cancer in the spine. I have Sister Frieda's granddaughter, Georgia, has scarlet fever. And there's an outbreak of scarlet fever in about 3 or 4 children that we know. So be praying for these and Sister Frieda also. And Keith Huckabee has bladder cancer. Joshua Sample, he has a cold that's a little bit complicated because of some of the other medicines he's taking. He can't take this any type of cold medicine, so just be praying for him. And then Randy Carnell is in hospice in Warm Springs, Georgia. And need the scripture of the Lord. Ronnie Cato has throat cancer. Caleb Sample, my grandson, has 2 types of cancer he needs to be healed of. 18 years old. Ricky Sample, he's 13. He's got a rare disease and needs to be healed of the Lord. Joe Raley, colon cancer, and Joe Raley's mother has rheumatoid arthritis and degeneration of the spine.
Brother Eddie, do you have a prayer request?
Yeah. We need to remember all our brothers and sisters that's in Iraq and Syria, where all that killing's going on over there. And I've never thought about it, but they said that bunch of ISIS thinks that Christians are devil worshipers. And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters over there. I'd like for everybody to remember my wife and my children and my grandchildren tonight.
Amen.
Go ahead.
And Sister Gladys turned hers in on Facebook. Sister Robin, you want to go ahead and lead us in prayer, sis?
Yes. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father God, we're asking you right now for the healing of all these sickness that is going out, Lord, because you said that by his stripes we're healed, God. Father God, we ask that you would reach out your hands and that you would touch each and every one that's listening to this broadcast. Each and every one that doesn't know you tonight, God. I ask that you would touch their hearts, God, and that you would stir up their hearts to want to know you tonight, God. I ask that you would touch these people that are in other nations, God. You, God, the Christians that are out there, Lord. We ask that you would touch them, God. Father God, we ask that you would reach every heart and soul. You would turn this evil to your good, Lord. Father God, we just want to praise you and we want to give you all the glory, God. And Father God, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. And Lord, we know that you're a God that is able. Jesus, Lord, we know that you are able to do all those things, Lord. Bless each and every one of these tonight, Lord, that are sick out here. Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Father God, we just want to praise you and to lift you up and to glorify your name. All these things, God, let your glory be done. And Father God, let no man's work be seen, God. But your glory would shine among all things. In Jesus' name we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We appreciate you all. And remember Brother Yearwood's broadcast on Tuesday at 6 Eastern Time with blogtalkradio.com/reachingtheworldforchrist. Praise the Lord. And we'll see y'all. We'll hear y'all again next Tuesday and then Friday with us again. God bless y'all.
Hey, Sister Green. Before we leave, I had a couple more people that I'd like for y'all to remember as you pray and as you remember them. And they've got, both of them's got bladder cancer. And the man is about 81, 82 years old. His name's George Bolton. They said it's gone into his liver. And then my pastor's wife has got bladder cancer, and I'd like you to remember them. Her name is Tommy Sue, and I'd like you to remember them when you go to pray. Thank you.
Amen. Absolutely. We appreciate you all.
God bless y'all.
God bless.
God bless. Love you guys.
Love you.
Love y'all.
Love you.
Love y'all.
Night, this problem.
Love you.
Love you too, sister.
Love you too.